Okay, we're at the Mishnah on Pevav Amubet. We read it yesterday about all the different nuscha'ot, about if he was to say to his wife, I won't make you take any nedarim or shvuot. Okay, so the whole question of the Gemara is going to be now, what type of shvuah was he talking about when he says this? Okay, when he says, I'm not going to make you take a neder or shvuah, what did he mean? Which type of neder or shvuah was he referring to? What do we think his intent was? And we'll see as we'll sort of get into what kind of an agreement. The assumption is that he made this agreement with her before they got married. And he said, in the event that it will come up, you know, I promise I won't make you take a shvuah. And it sort of goes back to that other Mishnah that we saw earlier on the daf about if he makes her an apitropia, can he make her swear all the time? You know, can he make her swear on the Pelech, on the Issa? So we'll see. Here's, they make an agreement that I won't make you take a shvuah. So shvuah maya vidata. What kind of shvuah are we talking about? We're at the very last line of the Gemara there. Amar of Yuda Marav al apitropia shenaaseit b'chaye ba'ala. We're talking about he kind of says to her, if in the future I make you in charge of my money, I won't make you swear about that, you know, you're doing everything legit. Rav Nachman, I'm a rabbi baravua, ala pogemek tubata. It doesn't have to do with, oh, if I at some point make you an apitropia, but it means if I pay you some of the ketubah, there's a law, and we're going to see this a lot today, there's a law that if someone pays the wife part of her ketubah money when she's still alive, let's say she needs money for something, and he gives her some of the money, when she goes to demand the rest of the money, she has to swear in order to get the rest of the money. She has to say, I swear that he gave me this amount of money in order to get her ketubah back. So he says to her, I promise that I won't make you swear if I'm your pogemek ketubata. Okay, so if I pay you back some of the ketubah while I'm still around, you know, before we get divorced or I die, I promise that when it comes time to get your money, you won't have to swear. Okay?
But that's a rabbinical enactment that she has to...
It's midrabanan. We're going to see this later, what kind of chiyuv shvua this is. We're going to see. Azav Rav Mordechai, Amra the Shmata Kamed Rav Ashi. So, before we get into this, what's the difference between, right? I think the Gemara doesn't really comment on this, right? I think it came up in the Rishonim here about what's the difference whether she says, it's the apitropia or the other one. So, and who's going to agree with who? Like, will one include the other? So the apitropia is something that comes, it's a shvua that he's mechayev ota. Maybe this is what you were getting at, Nomi, which is that the pogemek tubata, he's not mechayev the shvua. That's a chiyuv shvua according to the law. That's a shvua that falls by law. So Rav Nachman is saying, he can even overturn something like that. Something that she's obligated by law, he can say, I don't need you to do this. Whereas the apitropia is a shvuah that he personally, right? There's no one says if she becomes his apitropia, she has to swear. It's only that he might want to make her, and therefore he says, I'm not going to make you swear. Okay? Another difference is, we're going to see this inside in another minute, okay? So we'll wait. Azar Rav Mordechai, Amar L'shmatei Kamed Rav Ashi. He says this in front of Rav Ashi. So he says kacha. Bishlama lamanda amar al habogemek tubata. We understand why he says that it makes sense the guy would be mevater on his schut lifgom ketubah to make her swear on the gimat ketubah, even though that was the one that was really by law, right? Why? Demaska adata dilma mitzarche lezuze v'shakilna miktubatai. When she is getting married, we said that this is probably an agreement they made before she got married. Now, when you're about to get married, what do you think is more likely? That your husband's going to pay you some of the ketubah money during your lifetime? And she's thinking, well, you know, I want to make sure that my ketubah money is going to be easily accessible. We've seen this before, right? So I want to know that if I am going to get some of that money up front, that it won't be so hard for me to get the rest of the money. That's something she could reasonably be thinking about when she gets married. But, right, Dilma mitzarche lezuze, and maybe I'll need some money during my lifetime, during his lifetime, v'shakilna miktubatai, and I'll take her from miktubah. V'amalek, tovli delo mishpa'ale. Right, and then she says to him, write down that you're not going to make me swear. Ela lamanda amar ala pitropia, shenaseh p'chaye ba'ala, ihi mi havayada, dimotiv la pitropia. Da'amar la, Is she thinking about that when she's getting married? That maybe he'll make me an apotropia and I don't want to make him have him make me swear about it? That's not something that really comes up before a marriage that she's really concerned about.
I'm not so sure that the first one is either.
Right. You could say that also. I agree with you, because how often is it? So again, you have to, it's all a question of reality.
And they haven't mentioned her receiving part of the ketubah. Ketubah is so clearly something that you get when you get divorced or when you're with.
Okay. So it's true, we haven't seen it much, but it does come up. Okay. It comes up in the sources. It comes up in all sorts of contexts. I'm actually teaching it in Gittin. It comes up about, and we're going to get to this now, about why does she have to take a shvua? Obviously, she didn't get her ketubah money during his lifetime. No woman gets the, right, the ketubah money, but she does. You know, they make her take a shvua because apparently, you have to remember now, women didn't have their own money. So if a woman needed money for something, let's say she had children from another marriage, and she needed to pay something out for them, and she didn't have money for it. So where's she going to get money from? So the best source of money she has is this ketubah, because it's all like sitting there in an account and it's with her name on it. So if she's going to take money from somewhere, it's most likely
hers, because if she dies before him,
it's true.
Non-existent.
That's
not
true.
Really, her money,
right?
Just, you know,
but they really talk about it. It comes up all over the Matzah story. He puts money aside, and that it's. It does come up, and again, it's a question of what was the reality of their... Right, it could be the Tosefet, it could be some of the Nichsei, Tzom Barzel, you know, the Nedunya. It could be she's taking some of that money, although he does inherit that if she dies. So he inherits all of it if she dies. So, although, right, there was the disagreement about the Nichsei Tzom, but that was just with the Shomer Yabam. Anyway... It's hard to understand, like always, without really knowing the reality of the situation and the woman's money. But it clearly comes up in other places. But I agree with you that it definitely seems like this isn't the most common type case. And to think that she'd be thinking about that, you know, it obviously dawned on me right away about the prenup. In other words, who really thinks when they get married that they're going to need a prenup, right? But some of those people might really need a prenup, you know, and... While it's true that you're thinking about a situation that's unlikely to happen, you're about to get married, you don't really have this distrusting relationship with your husband. On the other hand, you know, it could be, or here it's, I guess it's not really the distrusting relationship. Here it's the opposite, because he's going to say, I trust you. But the question is, what is she concerned about? You know, like, what's she thinking about? So it could be she's thinking about, maybe I'll need money during my lifetime and I'll take some of it from the ketubah and I don't want to have a hard time getting back the rest of it.
Obviously.
Yeah. So, okay. But to think about how make me an apotropia, that's already much more distant. That's also a good question. Like, do women, you have to imagine that men didn't generally allow their wives in those days to be in charge of their money because they didn't trust the women, you know. The women weren't so bright. And
educated.
Right, exactly.
They were bright.
Right, they were bright, yeah. Thank you for correcting me. They were bright, they weren't educated. Oops. Okay. Okay, so now, Amarle. Atuna ha matnitu la. Wait a minute. Okay, so this was all. Let's go back. We had this machloka, Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, whether the shvua we're talking about is an apotropia shenaseh b'chayei bala or the pogemet ketubata. So now, we had a question on the apotropia one. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. Okay, this was all they asked before Rav Ashi, right? Rav Mordechai said this before Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, wait, you misunderstood. Atun you ahamat nitula. You're saying it's referring to the first shvua that we talked about in the Mishnah. But anan ahamat nitula. But I said that Rabbi Yehuda, I learned it, that when Rabbi Yehuda comes to say this in the name of Rav, that it's al apotropia, he wasn't having a machloket with Rabbi who says in the name, with Rav Nachman who says in the name of Rabbi Ravua about the first case, about it. He says, I don't want a neder shvua, and you don't need to make you take a shvua. Everyone agrees at the beginning of the Mishnah, where he says, I'm not going to make you take a shvua, he's talking about pogemet ketubata. Everybody agrees with that. What's Rav Yehuda talking about? He learned it on the last part of the Mishnah. What was the last part of the Mishnah? Hachami kever ba'ala lebeit avia, o shechazra lebeit chamia, velo na'aseit opitropia. Remember, as soon as he dies, she has two choices in front of her. She can go back to her husband's house, or she can go back to her father's house. She can live, right, not her husband's, but her husband's family. She can live in either one, right? If she goes back to her father's house, she already, like, gets supported by the father and she gets the ketubah money. If she goes back to her father-in-law's house, then she gets mezonot. So she has two choices. Either which way, okay? She goes either to Beit Aviyah, or Chazra Beit Chamiyah, but lo naseit apitropia. Ein hayorshim mashbi'in ota. Right? They can't make her swear. Ve'im naseit apitropia. This is in the case where he said, no one can, right? No one can make you take a shvua. But if she becomes an apitropia, then yorshim mashbi'in ota al ha'ati lavo, ve'im mashbi'in ota al sha'avar. So now, what's the question here? What does it mean, ein mashbi'in ota al sha'avar? What type of shvu are we talking about? Sha'avar maya vidate. And on that, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, al apitropia shenaseh b'chaye ba'ala. Aval, bein mita l'kvura mashbi'in ala. What do we learn here? If she was apitropia shenaseh b'chaye ba'ala, the Yitomim can't make her swear on things that happen during the husband's lifetime, but the second he dies, even between the time of the death and the burial, okay, then they're already allowed to swear because the husband's no longer alive. So Rav Matna, and on that there's a machloket, because Rav Matna amar afilu be mita lekvura lo mashbi'in ala. Why? De amre nahardea lecharga ulemizone ulekvura mazbininam belo achrazta. Okay, what do we say here? In nahardea they say that there's a few things in general when it comes to selling money. Of, let's say the estate only has land. So you have to sell the land, right? Now, when you sell the land, we want to make sure that we don't just sell it for some cheap price because we're desperate for money, right? And cheat the Yatomim out of what they deserve. But what do we have to do? We have to do a hachraza. So you have to announce that you're selling this land, wait 30 days, and see what the best offer you get. The whole thing is, since right, generally, if you're selling your own lands, you're going to make sure you get the best price. Here we have people functioning for the Yatomim as like an apitropos or something, as a right, as someone in charge of their money. And we want to make sure that they don't take advantage and just go the easy way out. So there's a law that says anytime you want to sell property to the Yatomim, because you need the money for something, you have to wait 30 days. Make a hachraza, wait till you get the best price. Except for three things. Which ones? Karga, those are the taxes. If they owe taxes to the king, we don't want them to delay. We have to do it right away. Mizonot for the woman, she needs it right away. You have to get mizonot, so you're allowed to sell it right away. And for kvura, for burial purposes. Okay? So what do you see here? That for burial purposes, we're allowed to do things in a quick way in order to make it, right, in order, it's, one second, wait, I'm trying to remember. Bei mita l'kvura, right. What are we worried about? Right. Rashi says that in on the Dibor Matcha Masbeninan, he says, so we sell the Nichsei Diyatme below Achras, Hashein Shehutu Matun Ledavar. Obviously, we don't have time, right? We can't wait 30 days to get money for the burial. The Hachanami, and in our case also, Lo Mashbeinan Alota Mechira, Diyashar Shalot Tizalzel Vetavsidatan, Vinimtsei Tshvuat Sheker. Okay, in other words, we don't make her swear before the burial, basically. Because we're worried if she swears before the burial, she's going to just do it quickly and maybe swear falsely because she's pressured about the burial. Okay? So because of the pressure of the burial, Rav Matna says, we certainly don't make her swear between the mita and the kfura. Okay? It's not a good time to start making her swear about things. She's not going to remember, she's going to be all overwhelmed, etc. Okay, so now we see that we've moved Rav Yehuda from arguing over Rav Barvua about in general when the husband makes this type of shvuah. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about if he would have made that shvuah and then he dies, so can we say that the Yatomim in between the time of the burial and the death and the burial, are the Yatomim allowed, is that considered already atid lavo? Or do we say like Rav Matna, no, we can't say in that situation. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yechia. Now we're going to have a whole lashon of different nuschaot here, okay? If he says, delo nadar, udelo shvua, hu eino yachol lahashbia, aval yorshin mashbi'in ota. Okay? If he says, delo nadar, udelo shvua, okay, that lashon, then he can't make her swear, but the yorshin can. What if he says, neki neder, neki shvua? Okay? What does it sound like? You should be free from nedarim, you should be free from shvuot. So bein hu, bein yorshim, e mashbi inota. That means, right, you're totally free, meaning even in the future, no one's going to make you swear, so therefore it applies also to the yorshim. Hachi kamar. What does it mean when you say naki? How do they read it here? Menaket mishfuata. You're totally free from shfuat or nidarim. But now we're going to see a different option of understanding that. Rav Yosef Amar Rabbi Chiya, okay, the two different people in the name of Rabbi Chiya said this, right? So here's a different interpretation in his name. Delo nedru lo shfua hueno yachal hashpia, aval yorshi mashpiyinota. So far it's the same. But neki nedru, neki shfua, bein hu ubein yorshi mashpiyinota. Dafka, everyone's allowed to make her swear. Why? What did he mean when he said neki shfua? Not the way we understood it before. Hachi kamala, neki nafshech bishfuata. Okay? You should clear yourself, right, by taking a shfua. Shalach rabbi zakai lamar ukva. Bein delo shfua, bein denaki shfua, bein delo neder, bein denaki neder. Okay? All these are all considered the same. Okay? As opposed to Rabbi Chiya made a distinction and then it wasn't clear in which direction he went, right? Did naki mean includes no one can make her swear, even future generations? Or does it mean everyone can make her swear, even the husband? Now he says, whether you say shvua, right, delo shvua, delo neder, neki shvua, neki neder, okay, it depends what he says. Bin nechasai, if he says, right, delo shvua bin nechasai, I won't make you take a neder about my nechasim. Then, hu eino yochol ashbia, aval yorshim mashbiinota, because already the nechasim becomes somebody else's at that point. Yeah, it's true, they were his originally, but as soon as they belong to somebody else, well then, it was only my nechassim, but my nechassim now are my nechassim. They belong to my yorshim. So they can make her swear. Minechsaya ilun, if he says from these nechassim, where he doesn't connect it to him, but to the objects, then bein hu, bein yorshav, emash biinota, because it's the same objects once they belong to the children, so therefore, they can't make her swear in that case. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishum Abba Shaul Ben Ima Miriam. Here's an interesting one, okay? First of all, it's funny. His name is Abba Shaul Ben Ima Miriam, right? But they say, why is he named by his mother? So they say, the Mefarshim explained his mother was obviously a more important person than his father, and therefore he got named by the mother. Okay, going back to the flip of what we said earlier about the important women, and maybe she was, you know, not only bright, but also educated. Tough to know. Or maybe she just did Maasim Tovim. You know, she was a spectacular woman in terms of her Maasim. I think that's how Dafka with the Mefarshim talk about, which makes sense that they would go that direction. Okay, so Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, in the name of Abba Shaul, Bein delo shfua, bein denaki shfua, bein delo neder, bein denaki neder, bein minichsayai, bein minichsayai ilun, bein hu, bein yorshav, emash biinota. Even if he says, my nechasim, okay, still the Yorshim can't be make her swear. This is different from the last case we did, the last opinion we just saw. But he continues to say, Aval ma'a eseh, shaharei amru chachamim, habali para minechsei yitomim, lo yipara ela b'shvua. In other words, this is all in theory, exactly. It's true that technically speaking, the Yorshim can't make her take a shvua. However, there's no way to get money from Yitomim because of a separate law, Ela B'Shvua, because we want to protect the Yitomim, the people don't take advantage, and therefore she'd have to take a Shvua. And it's not that we're stuck, it's just that she'd have to take a Shvua because we have a separate issue. So if you look at just this issue in a vacuum, you'd be right, she wouldn't have to take the Shvua, but we have no choice but to make her take a Shvua. Right. V'ika da'amre la matnita. Some people say not that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, who said in the name of Abba Shaul, but there was a braita that said, Abba Shaul ben Ima Miriam Amar, this could be the exact same thing, Bein de la Shfua, Bein de Naki Shfua, it's just a matter of the source, did it come from a braita or was it passed down by Amoraim? Bein de lo neder, Bein Naki neder, Bein minechasai, Bein minechasai ilon, Bein hu, Bein yorshav, Ein mashbi inotav, Ama aseh, Sharei amu chachamim, Vavali para minechasai yitomim, Lo yipara ela b'shfua. And Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha keben ima Miriam. Okay? We pask in that way. Okay? So there's no choice. New Mishnah. Hapogemek tubata. Now we're going to see this issue, the halacha of the pogemek tubata. Lo tipara ela b'shvua. Okay? Here's the halacha. If you're pogem shvuata, you have to, if he pays back some of the money while she's still, before the ketubah actually kicks in, then lo tipara ela b'shvua, she has to swear how much she took in order to get the shvua. We're going to get into the shvua and dinei shvua in general as we go along. Eid echad mi'ida shehi prua. Let's say one witness came and said, I saw that the husband gave back the ketuba. Lo tipara ela b'shvua. Again, right, this is the whole thing, not pugem ketubata, but I saw that the husband paid her all the ketuba money, and she's claiming he didn't. And obviously he claims he did pay the money. So, lo ti para ela b'shvua. She has to swear. מנכסי יתומים ומנכסים משועבדים ושלא בפניו לא תיפרה אלא בשבועה. She wants to get it from the yitomim. We already learned this, right? That she has to swear, because anyone has to swear from nechsei yitom. Right? Remember, this was all because we're worried that people will come and say, your father owed us money, and how would they know what really happened or not? Minechasim meshuabadim means if you go to someone else's land and say, listen, you bought this land from so-and-so, but he owes me money, right? So if she goes to get it from their property and says, you know, I want my ketubah money from your property, so she also has to swear. How do they know, right? They shouldn't know whether the husband paid her back or not. V'shelo b'fanav, and if it's not in front of him, then she wants to do this when he's not there. Okay, so then how would they know? So again, lo tipara ela b'shvua. Hapogem ketubata ketzad. So now we're going to give some examples. What are these? They want to basically give examples for all the cases that we just said in the Mishnah, even though I explained them. So now we'll go, the Mishnah kind of makes it easier for you and explains each case exactly, like an example. Hapogem ketubata ketzad. Haitak ketubata elef zuz. Okay, let's say between the Tosefet and whatever else, it's 1,000 zuz. Va'amra la, hitkabalt ketubatech, and he says, I already gave you the money. V'hi omer, lo hitkabalti elam mane. Right? I only got 100 zuz. Lo tipara ela b'shvua. She has to swear that I only got 100 zuz, and then she could take the rest. Eidecha midashi prua. Ketzad. Hayta ketubata elef zuz. Va'amar la, hitkabalt ketubatech. He says, I already gave you the money, the 1,000 zuz. V'hi omer, lo hitkabalti. I didn't get anything. Ve'edecha midashi hiprua. And one witness says, hey, I saw him paying back her money. Lo tipara ela b'shvua. Okay, she has to swear, and then she can get her money back. I want to maybe take a break for a second and just explain an important halacha that may or may not be known. In general, in order to be machayev someone to pay money in court, right, what do you need? You need two edim, right? Two edim is what you need. But if you have ed echad, okay, ed echad, we say, is on dine mamonot, is machayev shvur. Okay, if you have one witness that says something, then already, we want to make you take a shvua, okay? There's one difference that the Gemara is going to get into between this case and general cases of Eid Echad. Generally, let's say you come to my house and you're here, you say, this board belongs to me. So now, basically what has to happen? Who takes the shvua? Right? I want to say, this board belongs to me. Now comes one witness and says, hey, that board doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Naomi. So what do? I take a shvua that is mine and I get to keep it. Why is that different from here? That's called nishba ve'no mashalem. Okay? That's the general. In other words, I take the shvua to basically, we always say, matzim chaver alav haraya, right? So now, it's true that you need a proof, but there's a proof working against me. So in order to basically get rid of the proof working against me, I'm allowed to take a shvua and be patur. In this case, we're allowing her to basically take money out of someone's hands by taking a shvua. It's the flip. Okay, we saw this the other day with the woman who had to take the shvua, and we said, well, she's chashuda on the shvua, so we're not going to have her take the shvua, we're going to have the other person take the shvua. Right? So there also, the woman who took the shvua, who was supposed to take the shvua, who wasn't believed, she was supposed to take a shvua that I don't owe you any money. In the end, they allowed something that generally we don't allow, which is him to swear in order to take money out of her hands. Okay? So we're going to get into this in the Gemara, but I want to already establish it from the beginning that just note that this shvua is a little bit different from your typical shvua because it's a more powerful, right? We're allowing someone, and if you would have gone with the regular, you would just say the husband, in order not to give the money, has to swear. But instead, we allow the woman to swear to get her money. Okay? So it's giving her more power, really. On the one hand, it's putting the burden of the shvua on her, which is, you know, tricky because people don't like to swear. On the other hand, it's allowing her to get what she wants by swearing. It gives her power. Okay, next case.
The principle is wrong because it makes it easier for somebody to, in other words, for the benefit of swearing is so great that it could be very easy, much more tempting to do a false swear.
Uh-huh, because you can get, there's so much at stake.
It's so easy for me to get rid of that witness against me by my swearing, you know, I knock him out, and
mm-hmm. I think the concept was, though, people in general, and you see this, they were scared of swearing. I mean, people did lie falsely, but they also, working against that, was this fear of what will happen to me if I swear falsely. There was even that story.
We discussed, with people that did swear falsely.
Right. There's actually, I actually got confused. It was something I just taught in Gittin. There's a story about a woman who has a pikadon in her house of this guy, a dinar zahav, and she sticks it in her flour to hide it. And then she ends up baking something with it, and it ends up, getting lost, and then she swears that, he comes back for it, and she swears that she, didn't do anything with it, and that she has it, or something like that, and then I think her son dies, something terrible happens to her, and they say, oh, look, here's someone who swore, not even b'sheker, like she thought she was swearing be'emet, and yet she ended up swearing falsely b'ta'ut, and she ended up, look what happened to her, and look how dangerous shvuot are, like there was this fear of shvuot, So I think a lot of time also people did it, even if they knew it to be the case that he hadn't paid her back, it's scary to take that shvuah. What if I made a mistake, right? The fear of you're going to swear against, b'shem. Also, we're going to see, we're talking about shem Hashem or not, it's unclear, but the Mefarshim generally say that we're talking about a shvuah, of b'shem Hashem and not a sefer Torah maybe. Okay, so that's why what I'm saying here is allowing her to take shvuah, on the one hand gives her the power to take the money, on the other hand it puts it on her, which, particularly you can imagine women in those days might have also been more fearful than men of taking shvuah, right? Maybe. I'm not sure if that's true, but it could be.
Okay, if they were uneducated.
Exactly. So, right, of like the fear part, the fear part of religion, the superstitious part might have been stronger by them, they might have been more scared. So in a sense, it doesn't necessarily help them, but on the other hand, it sort of helps them because it's giving them more power to be able to be nishpa v'notel, it's called. Minechasa meshu'abadim ketzad. Machar nechasav la'achirim, v'hi nifra mina lekuchot, lo tipara ela b'shvua, right? So now he sold his property after he wrote the ketubah, right? And then she wants to get it from them, so she can only do it with a shvua. Minechse yetomim ketzad, meit v'hinech nechasav liyetomim, v'hi nifra mina yetomim, lo tipara ela b'shvua, right? He dies, he leaves it to the yetomim, she wants to get it from them, she needs to swear. V'shelo b'fanav ketzad, oh, so I wasn't sure when I read it, fine. So I read it wrong then. The nechasim ashu'abadim is not shelo b'fanav, and it's not connected. Nechasim ashu'abadim is just she goes to nechasim ashu'abadim. But here we have a new case of shelo b'fanav. I read it wrong when we read the Mishnah before. What's this case? Ketzad halachu l'medina hayam v'hi nifrat shelo b'fanav. Okay? En nifrat el b'shvua. She wants to get the money from his estate, from his property. He's not there. She goes to someone who's in charge of his money, and she says, he left town, and I need my ketubah money. And so she has to swear, basically, that she didn't get paid. Rabbi Shimon Omer, here's this one last line. Now we're going to see in the Mishnah, in the Gemara later, what this is referring to. Kol zman shehi tova ketubata, hayorshim mashbi'in ota. V'im eina tova ketubata, ein hayorshim mashbi'in ota. Okay, if she is, if she's tovak ketubata, if she demands her ketubah, then the yorshim swear, make her swear. But until the point where she's tovak ketubata, the yorshim don't make her swear. Okay, we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to understand this line. Okay, it's on tomorrow's daf, which we actually won't be learning together, but you'll see it when you get there. Okay, Gemara. Sava Rami Bar Chama Lememar, Shvua De'oraita. Dekatayim matayim, v'kamodi la b'mea, havi la hoda'a b'miktzat ha'tana, v'kolam odeh b'miktzat ha'tana yishava. Okay, now we're going to have a discussion. Is this shvua midoraita or midorabana? And in which case, most of the Mefarshim explain, it's not 100% clear. Could be just doraita d'rabana. What's the difference between doraita d'rabana? It's just in terms of the severity, right? What the mechayev is. Some people say, though, no, if it's a shvua d'oraita, there was a difference in the actual shvua. Shvua d'oraita was done on a Sefer Torah, it was done with Shem Hashem. A shvua d'rabanan probably wasn't done on a Sefer Torah, might or might not be with Shem Hashem, okay? So it's unclear what level of severity we're talking about the shvua, or, right, is it just d'oraita d'rabanan, but yet it's the same exact shvua, or maybe the shvua is even different, whether it's a d'oraita d'rabanan. So Rami Bar Chama comes and says it's a shvua midoraita. Why? Because this is a classic mode b'miktza. When you have an obligation to someone, you took out a loan, he lent you 100 shekel, and you say, he says, you owe me 100 shekel, and you say, I already paid you back 50. It's true I owed you 100 shekel, so you're mode that he owed you, and you're mode, but you're also saying, but wait, I already paid you 50 shekel, and I only owe you 50 shekel. That's called mode b'miktza, and called mode b'miktza yishava. So this woman is the exact same thing, Lechora, right? He says, I paid you the whole thing. And she says, no, you only paid me part. So she is modeh b'mikzad of his ta'ana. Now she agrees with him partly. Amarava, shtei tshuvot b'davar. I have two problems with what you're saying. Chada, dekol ha-nishba'in shebatorah, nishba'in b'lo mishalmim. V'hi nishba'at b'notelet. When we say modeh b'mikzad, who's the one who swears? This goes back to what I was saying, right? The one who doesn't want to pay the money back, who says, I already paid you back 50, right? He has to swear that he only owes him 50 and he doesn't owe him 100. So that's nishba ve'eno mashalem, right? And in our case, if it would be nishba ve'eno mashalem, who would be doing the shvuot modeh b'miktzat? The husband would say, I swear that I paid you the whole thing. Okay? So you can't compare because here, he nishba v'notelet, like I said before, it's a different type of shvuah. So you can't say it's modeh b'miktzat. Ve'od, ein nishba'in al kfirat shibud karkaot. Okay? When this modeh b'miktzat is when you say, well, the case I said, right? 100 shekel, and you say I only owe you 50. But that's not the case when you're kofir. Let's say you say, this land is my land. You know, I bought this piece of land off you, and I say you only bought half the land. We don't swear on land. So not only do we not swear on land, but we don't swear when there's a shibud karka. What's the shibud karka here? Remember the ketubah, while it's a monetary thing, right? She's allowed to demand it from karka, and the karka, his land, is meshuabad to the ketubah. So therefore, you can't take a shvua on that kind of thing. So therefore, you can't say it's a midah oraita modeh b'miktzat shvua. It's not the same at all. Ella, I'm a rabba. Rabba says, midah rabbanan. Okay? It's a midah rabbanan shvua. Dipara diyek, dimifra lo diyek. So now he has to explain, if that's the case, why is it not a nishba b'eino mashalem? Even if it's d'rabbanan, it should still follow the classic type of shvua, that you're nishba in order to get out of a payment. So why do we let her take the shvua? Because what do we say? De para diek, de mifra lo diek, v'ramu rabbanan shvua ala ki hecha de tivdok. Who's less trusted here? She's less trusted. We don't believe, when he says, I paid you everything, and she says, you only paid me 100, we're concerned. Who generally pays attention? When someone owes someone money, who's more paying attention to how much money they owe or how much money is owed and what's, you know, whether you pay the person back or not? The person who owes the money. They're always thinking, right? You ever have that where you feel like you know you owe someone money? Like if you go into a store and you say, you know, I ran out of money, I'll pay you tomorrow. The store owner probably forgets that you owe them the money, unless they write it down. But let's say it's someone who trusts you, right? You go into the store all the time, they know you, they trust you. You're the one who, it sits in your head, I know I need to pay this back. So therefore, they're saying the one who's para is diek. The one who paid, he's very careful, he knows he paid. But Demifra, the one who's supposed to get paid back, isn't so careful. She doesn't remember exactly what amount she got paid, right? Already once it's somewhat paid back. Who remembers already how much of it was paid back, how much of it wasn't? So they dafka put the burden of the shvua, and this is kind of saying the burden of the shvua goes on her so that she checks much better. Because they feel like if she's going to swear, she's going to do a much better calculation. And we're basically saying that she's chashuda, that she's not so believed when she says he paid me 100 only. Okay, so now we want to give some, we're going to have some questions. Ibailahu. Pogemik tubata be'edim mahu. What if there were edim there? Okay? Let's say he paid her back part of the ketubah with edim. And now what happens? He says, well, I also paid you back the rest of it without edim, right? Because now we obviously don't, right? There were obviously two, according to him, right? There were two things that happened. First time he paid her 100, let's take the example of the Mishnah. And the second time he paid her 900. Okay? Now the first time there were edim. So if we know that there were edim the first time, what's going to be our question? What do you think? And this goes back to what would someone be thinking? If he really had paid her back this 900, what do you assume? Be'edim have a parala. If he did the first 100 with edim, don't you think he would have done the rest of it with edim? Well, not necessarily. This goes back to a bunch of things we saw before, right? If he did it with two wives, remember, and if he said with one wife, I'll be mochel on this, but he didn't say it with the second wife. Do we assume that with both wives, if he was mocha with her, he'd be mocha with her? Do we say, oh no, that's a different wife. Maybe with her he'd be willing to be mevater on this kind of a moon, but on the other one he wouldn't be mevater on that moon, you know? So can we judge from a situation, right? In a, since he did once with Adim, do we assume that? Odilma itrume itarmuye itramele. No, maybe it just happened to be that when he was giving her back the money, there were Adim there, but not like he, you know, insisted there be Adim, in which case we'd assume he insists the second time. Tashma, let's learn it from here. From this source, let's try to find our answer. Kova nishba'in shebatoha, again, this goes back to what we said, nishba'in b'lo mashalmim, right? Any shvua d'oraita is going to be a nishba b'lo mashalim, okay? Your nishba to get out of paying something. Ve'elu nishba'in v'notzlin, except for a few situations. Hasachir v'hanigzal v'hanechbal v'shekenegdo chashad al hashvua v'chembani al pinkaso v'hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. Okay, let's go through all these cases, then we'll get to it. Sachir is someone who's owed money, right, for salary. He wants to swear that he didn't get paid his salary. He's allowed to do that. Hanigzal, someone who money was stolen from him, and there's one aide that saw this guy. No, there's... I think there's Adim that saw the guy stealing something, but they don't know what. So in order to allow the guy to get his objects back, he's allowed to swear he took this and this and this and this. Nechbal, someone again, there were witnesses who saw that he was injured, but they didn't see exactly what happened to him, what the damages were. So he can swear this guy injured me here and there and take the money. V'shekenegdo chashad al hashvua, that's the case we saw the other day, that if generally it's nishba v'notel, I'm sorry, nishba v'eino mishalem, but if the person who's supposed to be nishma is known to lie falsely, then we flip it and we allow the other person to be nishba v'notel. V'chembani al pinchaso, this is a crazy situation. I owe someone money, okay, salary, and I tell the store owner, you pay the salary and I'll pay you the money, okay? In other words, I'll give you money and you give them the money, okay? Using him as like a middleman. So the chenvani claims I gave them the money, and the worker claims I never got any money, I don't know what you're talking about. So in this case, what happens? The chenvani has to swear that I paid the money, and the worker has to swear I didn't get the money, and then the original guy has to pay the money back to his worker, okay? So it's again a nishba v'notel. Okay. Hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. What's that? That's our case. Ah, we get hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. What do you see here? Hare elu nishba'im v'notlim. So what do they say? They infer from this source, shelo be'edim in, be'edim lo. What does that mean? You see here, it's only pogem shtaro shelo be'edim. But if there were edim, then no. So here you see that a pogem shtaro... without, one second. Right, so we say here is hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. So here you see, if he was pogem shtaro, if he paid back some of it with edim, we'd have to assume here that it wouldn't be the case, right? That you wouldn't be able to be nishba. So there you see that it goes by the first option, right? That if he did it with edim, you'd assume the second time he'd also do it with edim. But then the Gemara says, no, don't assume from that source it's like that. Why? Loma bayakamar. It doesn't mean only hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. It means hapogem shtaro be'edim and even hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. Why? Loma bay, you don't need to say be'edim. That's obvious. Devadai tzricha shvua. For sure in that case she needs a shvua. But the chidush is shelo be'edim. Aval shelo be'edim, what might you have thought? Let's say he paid back the money without edim, right? Bli edim. The first 100 shekel. So now, what's the story? When she comes to say, I agree you paid me 100, but you didn't pay me the other 900. She is basically saying it, right? We'll see the words of the Gemara here. Eima tahavi kemeshiv aveda. She's like a meshiv aveda. Why? She didn't even have to say he paid me 100. She could have said he didn't give me anything and she'd be believed, right? In other words, we don't have any evidence that he paid 100. So therefore, right, you might have thought, betishko belo shvua. In other words, you might have thought she should be allowed to even get it without a shvua because she's even admitting to the 100. Right? It's almost like a Migo type thing. So kamashma, and that's why they're dafka machanish in that case, hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. Even if he did it shelo be'edim, and it's just coming out of the goodness of her heart, right? She's saying the truth. Therefore, maybe we believe her, she's telling the truth all the way. Kamashma, let's come and tell you no. Even in that case, she has to swear, in which case we'd say, and all the more so in the case where there were edim, in which case she's not kamishi vaveda, right? And therefore we don't believe, she's got no credibility here, because the only way we know about the 100 is from the edim, not necessarily from her testimony. So therefore, it doesn't prove anything. Okay, so we're left without an answer to that question. Ibayelahu, here's another question. Ha pogemik tubata, now the whole thing, what were we concerned about the pogemik tubata? Remember that she's not careful and she won't know exactly how much money he paid her back. Let's say she's pogemik tubata pachot pachot mishavet pruta mahu. She says, listen, he paid me 10 shekels on this day, and he paid me 10 shekels on that day, and 10 shekels on that day, and 10 shekels on that day, and 10 shekels on that day. Okay? So, if she has such an accounting of it, right, maybe we'd say, do we say, because she's so medayik, she must be telling the truth, because she has a good accounting. Or maybe she's tricking us. She's trying to make it sound like she's got it all together, but really she doesn't. Teku, we don't know the answer. Okay. Ibayelahu. Pochetet ktubatam mahu. Okay, here's a different case. He has a ktuba for, let's say, 1,000 zuz, okay? And then they have an agreement between them that he really only has to pay her 200. Okay? They made an agreement.
Okay.
That she's willing to take less money for whatever reason. We don't know why, but she's willing to take less money. Maybe, you know, he had less money as he got, I don't know. Whatever reason, she's willing to take less. Mi amrinan, hainu pogemet. Is this like a pogemet? Odilma, pogemet is modya b'miksat. V'ha lo kamodya b'miksat. Right? In other words, pochetet, she's not modya in anything, right? She's just saying the sum is not 1,000, it's 200. Not that he paid me back part of the money. So do we say it's the same halacha or different? So tashma, pochetet ti parasha lo b'shvua. Ah, it's dafka different. She doesn't need to swear. Ketzad. Haitatu bata elef zuz. Va'amarla, here's just the source continuing. It's explaining. This is a braita. Her ktuba was elef zuz. Va'amarla, hitkabal ktubatech. V'hiomer lo itkabalti. Ve'ena elem mana. Nifrat shalo b'shvua. Okay, so he says, the ktuba was elef zuz, and he says, I paid you the ktuba, and she says, you didn't pay me the ktuba, but it's only a money. Okay, in other words, yes, I have the shtar that says it was elef zuz, but it's really only 100. So in that case, nifrat shelo b'shvua. Okay, so now they say, what do you mean? B'mai gavya, on what basis can she demand this money? B'hai shtara, she's gonna, what happens? She produces this shtar that says, you owe me 1,000 zuz. And he says, I already paid you back. And she says, no, it's not 1,000. It's true, the shtar says it's not 1,000. It's not really 1,000, but it is 100. So how could she possibly demand it from that shtar? Hai shtar chaspa ba'almahu. That shtar is totally void, because she's saying that shtar isn't true, right? I don't have a shtar, a ketubah of 1,000. So amarava, bereda rabba, ba'omeret amanah itali b'ni lebeno. No, what she's saying is, yes, this is your ketubah, my ketubah that you committed to me. But after you gave me this ketubah, we made an agreement between us. We had an agreement. We didn't write it down, but we had an agreement that it's only 100, and therefore she gets to take her 100 without having to swear. Okay, we'll go on just to drop more. Eid echad mi'idah shehi pru'ah. What if one witness says it's already pru'ah, right? It was paid back. So, again, Sever Rami Barchama Lamemer Shvuah De'oraita Dechtiv Lo Yakum Erecha Be'ish L'chol Lavon L'chol Chatat. What does that mean? Lo Yakum Erecha Be'ish, right? To cause someone to get punished. Here's our source for Shvuah. L'chol Lavon L'chol Chatat Hu De'eno Kam Aval Kam Hu L'Shvuah. Okay? Eid Echad is enough to be Mechayev Shvuah. V'amarmar Kol Makom Shashnayim Mechayvin Oto Mamon Echad Mechayev Shvuah. Okay, so again, he says this would be a good case of a shvua midoraita. So again, amarava shtei tshuvo b'davar. Chada, dechol nishba'in shebetorah, nishba'in v'lo meshalmim, v'hi nishba v'notelet. So you can't compare this to the shvua min haTorah. V'od, ein nishba'in al kfirut shivuk karko. Okay, so ela amarava midorabanan. Okay, the shvua is midorabanan. And why did we make the shvua? Kedei lahafis da'ato shabal. We want to make the husband comfortable, okay? It's like to make him feel better that since there is an aide who's Messiah to his side, so we want to basically go to side with him, that in order for him to have to pay the money, and since he does have one witness on his side, the Chachamim made a takana that she's going to have to swear, okay? And, I was thinking about this. I don't know, right now it just jumped into my head. This whole issue, it's like nowadays, we have all these issues with women and sexual harassment. On the one hand, we always feel like we have to protect the women because women are getting taken advantage of all the time in the work and the, you know, all different places of sexual harassment. On the other hand, women sometimes take advantage of this. They know that they can mess people up and ruin people's lives by claiming this, and they have all this power to do that. So we kind of, you know, there's always that concern, what if they're lying? What if, you know, I recently had this situation where I mentioned to some a doctor that I go to, somehow it came up, and I said, yeah, there was this doctor in Manana where this happened that, you know, they found out that he ran away from America and he was sexually harassing women. And the doctor said to me, you know, I heard about that story, but I heard that it really wasn't the case and this woman really just went after him. And, you know, and there's always two sides to it. And here we're also struggling with, on the one hand, we want to protect the woman. On the other hand, you want to protect the man from the women taking advantage of this system and knowing that they can get things. And so it's always, you know, and you can see what's interesting about it is that I think a lot of, you know, I think some of the sources we've been bothered by that they're not really on the side of the woman. And Dafka, these words, Kedei l'hafis dato shel ba'al, the Gemara is struggling with this also. Yeah. Exactly. Actually, that balance between, right, trying to figure out who, you know, who's taking advantage and who's taking advantage of who. And it really could go both ways. As much as, you know, we're always concerned with the women getting taken advantage of, sometimes the women can abuse their privileges and mess up the men as a result.